We're living in an age in which the church's impact on our world is rapidly declining. And one of the main reasons is because too many Christians are no longer grieved about sin.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant began a study on the so-called Beatitudes, where Jesus listed a series of characteristics of a true disciple and the promises that would attach to the life so characterized. Pastor Grant began to develop 8 keys to that blessed life Jesus promised, which is where he picks up again this evening as he concludes his message, How Can I Discover and Live a Blessed Life? Here again is Pastor Grant.
No matter our status in life, we must recognize our spiritual poverty before we come to God and receive His salvation. The poor in spirit are blessed. But what blessings? Can I give you, just before I move on, just 2 of the big blessings that the poor in spirit receive? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, just 2 quick ones to add to your notes. We have abundant life on earth. Add that to your notes. We have abundant life on earth. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have what? That you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Thank God there is abundant life. Listen, abundant life is not just, sometimes people think abundant life means we're going to live forever. And aren't you glad you're going to live forever in heaven with Jesus? Those of us who are saved, we're going to live forever in heaven with Jesus. Amen. But abundant life is not just plenty life, not just long life. Abundant life is a quality of life. Amen. Oh my hallelujah, Jesus, when Jesus comes, what an incredible joy he brings to our soul. And so the reason why this is such an incredible life is because Jesus is in my life, and he can turn the darkness into light, and he can give us joy bubbling over, joy bubbling over. In fact, they used to sing a song like that. I can't remember what the song says, but I know there was a song about bubbling over, bubbling over. You know that one? I got it. It says, bubbling over, bubbling over. My cup is full and running over. It's running over, not bubbling over. Running over, running over. My cup is full and running over. Hallelujah! Since the Lord saved me, I am happy as can be. And my friend, my cup is full and running over. And I want to ask you, is your cup full and is it running over? Is the joy of the Lord bubbling up in your heart and in your life? Hallelujah. He gives us abundant life on earth. But here's the second thing. He gives us eternal life with God in heaven. What is better than that? Somebody help me. What could be better than that? To have an incredible life of joy on earth. An eternal life in heaven. No. I don't want to be like the preachers who make it sound that one, this bubbling over life on earth is just good old easy. There are going to be some tough days. And I'm glad. You know, sometimes for the first umpteen years of my life, I was never sick. I am so glad that the Lord has helped me to experience some of the pain so many have experienced. It makes a difference in your life, you know. It's easy to preach when you've never been sick in your life. But it is, listen, it's for real, it's for real. I can share the challenges you have faced. I've been there, and I'm able to say that even in the midst of challenges, my cup was full and bubbling over, for Jesus makes a difference. I'm going to encourage you today, those of you young people, there's some young people here, I don't know if you're saved. There's some older people, there's some who have gone off the path, and today Jesus is calling you. He's coming back, calling you to a full surrender. And it is my prayer that you will do just that. Abundant life on earth and an eternal life in heaven. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a blessing in life and a blessing in heaven. First beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But here's a second one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This verse is often misquoted. Do you know that? Because we like to use this verse, somebody has lost a loved one, and we quote it to the person who has lost a loved one, trying to encourage them. But might I suggest to you that this verse has nothing to do with the person who has died. It's actually talking to the living. Jesus was telling us, are you with me this morning? Jesus was telling us that when we mourn because of our sin, we will receive his blessing. Did you realize that? Jesus was telling us that when we mourn because of our sin, we will receive his blessing. We live in a world where sin is treated in a very cavalier manner, even by born-again Christians. For we behave as if it's okay to sin as long as we ask God to forgive us afterwards. But Jesus is saying to us in this text, blessed are they, those who mourn. That sin causes us to what? Mourn. Add this to your notes. To mourn means to experience deep grief about our sin. Is that true in your life? I believe most of us would have to admit that we fall far short in this area. For although we're deeply grieved about some sins, there are others that don't seem to bother us very much. Am I right about that? There are some sins that we mourn about, but some sins don't seem to bother us very much. But Jesus starts his earthly ministry by telling us, blessed are those who mourn. We're living in an age in which the church's impact on our world is rapidly declining. And one of the main reasons is because too many Christians are no longer grieved about sin. We've fooled ourselves into believing that sin salvation is permanent. Once we are saved, we can live as we please, for we can always offer a quick prayer and ask God to forgive us. And I verily believe that in this audience, and for those of you online, there are Christians who have that mindset that I can sin because I can always ask God to forgive me. But anyone who has that mindset had better revisit the cross to make sure they're truly saved. For when a person is truly born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in them, and the Spirit of God will not allow us to keep practicing sin without disturbing our conscience. Are you with me this morning? If you are truly saved, you cannot just keep on sinning and it does not disturb your conscience. Turn with me. Keep your finger in Matthew 5. Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Just two verses there. Verses 13 and 14. As David says, here's how David says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. You know what is a presumptuous sin? I know it's a sin, but I do it anyhow. I know it's a sin, but I do it anyhow because God will forgive me. David says, keep me from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. May God help us that, like David, we will start being concerned about presumptuous sin. That instead of having the attitude that I can sin and ask for forgiveness, we will instead seek to live a blameless life before God. So that when that sin and temptation comes, and can I promise you something? Temptation will come. Is there anyone here who can honestly say, I haven't been tempted in the last 2 weeks? Temptation will come. But Jesus says, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. First beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Second, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And here's the third, and this is as far as we're going to go today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Bible tells us that one day the earth and the atmospheric heavens will be destroyed, and God will bring into being a new heaven and a new earth where born again believers in Jesus shall live and reign with him forever. Are you looking forward to that day? One of these days, there is a place that we're going to be with Jesus forever in the flesh. What an amazing hope we have. But in verse 5, Jesus told us, only the meek shall inherit this new earth. Only the meek shall inherit this new earth. So who are the meek? No, he didn't say the weak. That's another fallacy people have. That it's the weak. But it's not the weak. It's the meek. And you better believe, you need a whole lot of spiritual strength to be meek. Verse 5, Jesus told us, only the meek. Many people equate the word meek with being weak. But if this is totally incorrect, do you know how we can know that the meek are not the weak? Because two of the most well-known characters in the Bible says they were meek. Who can think of two individuals, you can shout it out, who the Bible said were meek? Jesus was one of them and Moses was another. Jesus and Moses are two of the Bible says were meek people. And if you know anything about their story, you know that neither Jesus nor Moses was weak. Am I right about that? Jesus, write this. So put this to your notes. Meekness is not weakness, but describes a person who has put his or her power and strength under God's control. Amen. Meekness is not weakness. It describes a person who has put his or her power and strength under God's control. Years ago, our late brother Andy Trusty taught us that the Greek word translated meek was the same word the Greeks would use to describe a horse that had been broken and whose power was now under control. I've never had much to do with horses. Yesterday I did turn to one of the channels to watch some of these horses kick up and prance and do their thing. But can you imagine these wild horses, and they're just crazy. They're just kicking, and they'll kick you off. They'll do anything. But once they have been brought, once that strength has been brought under control, this wild horse is so totally different. Are you getting it? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is descriptive of that Christian who, despite all that they have going for them, who is willing to put their strength under the control of the Spirit of God. So write this. The meek are blessed by God because they have placed their lives under the control of God, the Holy Spirit. That's why it's such a big thing. God says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. The one who is willing to submit themselves to the Spirit of God so that God can take control. And I want to ask you, is your life under the Holy Spirit's control? Young man, older person, young lady, is your life under the control of the Holy Spirit? But dad, mom, husbands, wives, are you under the control of the Holy Spirit? Employers, are you under the control of the Spirit of God, or do you go crazy when your employees make a mistake? Employees, at work, is it evident that you are under the control of the Holy Spirit? You see, this is not a stuff for church. Being meek is not something we turn on when we step through the door. We're outside, you know, you're on your way to church and you're acting like a madman. And as soon as the car pulls into the parking lot, you shake on the meekness. You say, Pastor, can this really work? Is it possible? Is it really possible for me, despite how I am? You better believe it is. I've met people who ascribe their angry spirit to genetics. You ever hear people say, my granddaddy was an angry man, and he passed to my daddy, and my daddy is an angry man, and I am an angry man, because it's genetics. It runs in our family. We are all angry people. You ever heard people like that? I've actually heard them. My friend, it may seem like genetics, but all that could change today. All that could change today. Because today you can choose. Oh God, I want to be meek. Oh God, I want my spirit to be under your control. Oh, God, help me that I might be that person like Jesus, as meek as Jesus, who when he was reviled, did not revile again. Oh, my brother, my sister, it's possible as we keep submitting ourselves to God that he can help us to be meek. What a difference it could make in homes. What a difference it could make at workplaces if those of us who know Jesus make a decision today that we're going to follow this word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Many of us have seen football commercials on TV where these big, strong NFL players knock people off their feet and perform feats of superhuman, I call it superhuman strength, what some of them guys do. But sometime in the very same TV commercial, the picture switches and shows us the athlete, that strapping young man who can run over everybody. It suddenly shows us that athlete with his mom. And suddenly this giant becomes as meek as a lamb. So if mom says, boy, eat your soup. He eats it. If mom says, take your foot off the table, boy. He takes it down. Listen, no matter what mama says, Johnny does. Listen, it's not that he has lost any of his natural strength. It's just that Johnny became willing to submit to his mom's authority. You got it? Don't say you can't. Today, you, I, we can decide to submit to God's authority. That today, we will say to God, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I am willing to do. God wants us to live a blessed life. But for this to happen, some changes must take place. My brother, my sister, Christian friend, you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter. No matter who you are, God wants some changes. And listen, something has got to change. We cannot keep going the way we are. And so the question is, are you, am I willing to submit to God today? I hope there's somebody who will say today, I want God to help me live a blessed life, who will say, God, I'm submitting to you because I want you to help me to live that blessed life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.